Father, we thank you, Lord, for another hour of fellowship around the Word of God, another encouragement room today, just to encourage one another, to lift each other up. Praise the Lord. Let the light of your Word shine into our hearts and bring understanding, and bring grace, bring peace into our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been in our series, the Overcome series, and this is day 3, and this is more of the same. Just want to encourage people. You hear it one way, you hear it another way, you hear it from a different angle. You know, for the next few days, the Holy Spirit has called for the encouragement. Praise the Lord. You know, so today we're going to title this Mountains and Valleys. And as you know, life is full of ups and downs. It'll be good if we were always up and never down, but that's not the case. Life is full of mountains and valleys. We want to be up, though, more so than down. But the God that's with us in the mountain is also there with you in the valley. The God who is called the light, he's also with you when it appears that you're in darkness. And you know, there are times that it also actually appears that we're in darkness. So I'm going to talk about these mountains and things like this today, and the valleys. Well, spiritually speaking, the mountain will be when you are hearing from God. You know, everything is cool. I mean, God's speaking to you. You're getting direction. And it works. You're lockstep in with the Holy Spirit. And you are just, I mean, right there. And it seems like he's your personal companion. And he's so close. You can hear him. He talks to you. You hear him. You talk to him. And it's all good. And you're fellowshipping. You're having a good time. You know, that's your spiritual mountain. And then the Lord speaks to you and gives you the word and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, there comes a time when you can't hear his voice. And it's like, I mean, no matter what you do, it just seems like he's gone silent on you. And you really, you wonder, what in the world is going on? You're waiting for direction. You're not hearing anything. You know, and, so those are spiritual valleys. You know, and then in the physical realm, same thing is true. You know, sometimes things are really good and all is well and you're flourishing, you know, you're thriving and everything. And then suddenly there comes challenges, difficulties, distress, disappointments, and so on and so forth, which like we covered in the last few days. You know, so dealing with these ups and downs is what I want to talk about today. We already dealt with how to handle adversity, but dealing with these changes, you know, first of all, let me say that when you are in the light, which is when you are on the mountaintop, so to speak, and those words that God would speak to you during those times, keep them in your heart. Keep them close to your heart, because in the days when you don't hear from him, on the days when it seems like you are in darkness, and it seems as if his voice is so far away, and you are looking for a direction and you're not hearing, you got to be able to draw from what he told you when you were in the light. You say, well, how can we be in darkness? Well, how can we be in the light when we're supposed to be always in the light? Well, that's true. But unfortunately, that's not the way it is. You know, the way that Micah said it, which I've read that verse a couple of times through this series, he said, you know, there are times that you will be in the light, there's times you'll be in the darkness. Micah 7 and verse 8 says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. You know, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. So there's times that you may sit in darkness. There are times when those, you know, it just looks like, well, you know, I'm not hearing from him. And all of us been through those times. You know, our prayer and hope and trust in the Lord is that it's always, you know, we're always in the light. You know, not light and darkness in the terms of, you know, you're away from the Lord and you're walking in sin. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about spiritual challenges. When it seems as if your prayer is not heard, it doesn't mean you are not walking with God. You may be walking with God and your prayer may not be heard. Or not yet heard. Or you have not yet received. Now, to be honest, your prayer is always heard. It's just that because, you know, God's ears are not deaf. Neither are his hands shortened that he cannot save. It could be our iniquities that prevented him. It could also be a time of testing. I'm not even going to talk about the iniquities preventing him, yours today. Now, but let me briefly mention that. No matter what we've done wrong, and we do things wrong many times, especially when we grieve the Holy Spirit, he's telling us to do things and do things and do things, and we're not doing those things. Well, eventually, Holy Spirit may be grieved. That's a bad situation to be in. You know, but what do? You got to come back to the Lord. There's no other place to go. It's like the prodigal son. You got to come back to the Lord. You know, when the times are good, you are with the Lord. When the times are bad, you still come back to him. There's no other place to go. You know, the devil tricks people and make them run away from God and so forth. Well, you know, that's a tragedy when people do that. There's no other place. You know, Peter said, you know, Jesus said, look, will you also go away? After everybody was going away, he told them some hard sayings. They said, well, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? When he was telling them, look, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, and so on. And he said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? So they started to go away one by one. Then Jesus looked at the disciples and said, well, I mean, will you also go away? And then Peter said, well, you are the ones that have the life, I mean, the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? See, that's got to be our response to situations, no matter what. See, the Lord is the one that has the words of eternal life. The word Lord is our source. Where else can we go? You got to keep coming back to him. You know, but, you know, you'll be surprised that sometimes we seem to forget that. You know, there are situations that come so hard against us that sometimes people can't even pray. Why not? That's the time you should pray in the morning. The Bible says, any man afflicted, let him pray. You know, I mean, so don't put yourself in a situation where you say, well, I couldn't even pray. I've heard people say that. I mean, they're going through much stuff. They couldn't even pray. And I'm like, why not? That's the time you should pray even more. Because, you know, that's God's prescription. That's what the Lord told us in the book of James chapter 5. He said, look, when you are merry, you know, then you sing psalms. But when you are afflicted, then you pray. When you are sick, you call for the elders of the church. You can read that in James chapter 5, verses 13 through about 15. This is what God prescribes. Now, what do people do, though, when they are afflicted or sad? Do they actually pray? Well, I hope so. Sometimes people don't pray. They just get even sadder. I mean, they allow themselves to go into depression rather than praying. And I've seen here in this culture in America, you know, when people are really sad, they go grab a bottle, a jar or can or container of ice cream. It's ice cream. Chocolate ice cream. That's funny to me. How's that going to help you? When you are sad, you should pray. That's what the Bible says. When you are happy, you should sing songs and be merry and so forth. And just praise the Lord. When you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let's follow God's prescription. But today my lesson is about times when you may be sad. Those are the valleys. There are also times when you may be happy. You may be in a celebration mood. Well, I pray that celebration will not cease from our lives, from our homes. I mean, from our families, that we will always be celebrating and always be on top of the mountain. I mean, this is our prayer. And, you know, that's what we trust the Lord for. And for the most part, you know, through the grace and mercies of our God and Savior, we can experience that for the most part. But I guarantee you, there is nobody that is not going to experience the valleys. When you experience the mountains, you're always, you know, high. Some people say I'm on cloud nine or whatever. At some point in time, you're going to be down in the valleys. You know, so we got to recognize, we've talked about it in these days, I mean, these last couple of days, how God, you know, left the darkness and the light side by side. And that represents the mountains and the valleys that we're always going to have. You know, in fact, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, prophetically, this Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, speaking the word of God on behalf of the Lord, you know, this is how he puts it. And this also tells you that, look, we're going to experience these things. Now, he says, every valley shall be exalted. This is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 4. And every mountain and hill be made low. So there's always mountains and hills, and there are always valleys and so forth. There are times when your path may be straight. There are times when they may be crooked. I pray that that's not the case. But if it is, how do we straighten it out? That's what we're going to find out here today. There are times when everything is smooth, but there are times when things are rough. And what do you do when it's not smooth? What do you do when it's rough? So these are the things. You know, we read, one of the scriptures we read over the last couple of days is Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. The days of prosperity, that's your mountains. And then the days of adversity, well, that's your valleys. And you're going to have both. We hope and pray that you have more highs than lows. You know, but, you know, even when we have those lows, what do you do? And how do you, we talked about some of it yesterday, how do you go through? Well, let's look at the process. You know, there are some trials that are absolutely, you know, an absolute necessity. And it's part of the purification process. We go through some things that God is using to help us develop stamina, spiritual stamina. And, you know, and even nature teaches us this. When it's just part of growth. When you have a baby, a newborn, I mean, if you hear them cry, I mean, you jump from wherever you are. They may be in the next room and you hear the cry, you're going to leave whatever you're going to be doing at that time. You're going to jump and run there right away, you know. And while they're growing up, you know, for the most part, the moment they cry, you're right all over them, all over the situation where they're crying about. As they grow older, sometimes they fall and cry. You just say, he'll get over it. You know, yeah, because you're also teaching them, you know, to shake it up, just shake it off and so forth. You're not going to jump every time they cry as they get older. It comes to a time when they even cry, you're just going to say, oh, come on, you know, you're better than that, you know, suck it up, you know, and things like that. And parents do that, you know, and I do that with my grandkids even till now. You know, sometimes they'll cry over something. I'm like, come on. Yeah, I don't have to cry over that. But I guarantee you, when they were a baby, they'll cry all over them. You know, and so on. So it's the same thing for us in our spiritual walk. You know, and sometimes God will allow some things to help shape us, and he doesn't have to jump, you know, every time we cry. But it's a good thing if we, you know, if we, our prayer and our relationship with him can draw us that close, that while we are yet speaking, he's answering, and while the word is in our mouth, he's, you know, delivering, you know, an answer of peace. I mean, that's the ideal. But unfortunately, the reality is that's not always the case. Now, let's read one or two things here, you know, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, you know, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm reading from verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, we see that he's talking about, you know, trials. And he say sometimes it's necessary for a season that you'll be tried. And during those seasons, you may be in heaviness. But, you got to know that these things are part of life. You know, and I'm going to tell you a few other things today about how we need to respond. How do we expect God to respond? Well, we expect God to respond with an answer of peace when we are troubled. But how do we respond, you know, to him? His thoughts towards us, we're told in Jeremiah 29:11 and so forth, are for peace and for good, to give us an expected end, never for evil. Those are his thoughts towards us. Well, what are our own thoughts towards him? You know, I mean, do you blame the Lord? We talked about this in the room yesterday, for everything that goes contrary. You know, people blame the Lord for everything. His thoughts to you, towards you, may be of peace, but what about your thoughts towards him? Are they good thoughts as well? Do you trust him irrevocably? I mean, do you just, you know that he's got your good, you know, in mind, just like he says? I mean, can we extend the same, you know, to him like he extends to us? I mean, God's not the only one that needs to, think of us well. We need to also think of the Lord well. Think about that. I mean, do you really think of the Lord well? I mean, is it always well in your thoughts towards the Lord? Now, let's read 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Well, why do people think strange? Well, because when we are going through this horrible situation, whatever it is, sometimes we think we're all alone. That's why we think it's strange. But, you know, the Apostle Peter here is saying, it's not strange. These things are happening not only to you, it's happening to many people. And it's part of life. He said, look, you know, sometimes it, you know, those sufferings may be just because you are a believer. You know, some people think that, oh, when you come to Christ, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. It's going to be a walk in the park. Everything's going to be great. No. Bible never said that. But he said, I will be with you when you're passing through the fire, the water, or whatever. I'll be there with you. He never said you will not pass through. If I said when you pass through, which means it will happen, not if. You know, so it's like the Holy Spirit will be there to prepare you. It's not that you will not have a rough flight, but you know, it's giving you, if the plane were to blow up or something, is the Holy Spirit is there to give you a parachute. That's right. You know, there's no guarantee that, you know, we'll go through life and it will not be rough. You know, and so, you know, I've heard people, you know, preach to people and say, well, you give your life to Christ and everything's going to be great. You know, especially when people are in trouble and we promise them things that God never promised. You know, and you see somebody that's really distressed and in trouble and you promise them that, look, if they can only give their life to Christ, all their troubles will go away. Well, I guarantee you that person's going to be disappointed in life because all their troubles will not go away when they give their life to Christ. Now, what will happen though, the difference is that they now have strength. You know, they have like a pillar. They have something to lean on. Your Holy Spirit is there. You know, it's not that you won't have the same things, you know. Solomon said, look, I've seen, you know, great vanity upon the earth. The good and bad happen to them all. You know, no matter who you are, these things happen. Do you know that the same, you know, rain that falls on the good vegetation falls on the bad, and the same, you know, bad things like hurricanes and different things can slam through the city, even though there are righteous people in there. You know, there's a lot of good people, believers that have, you know, lost their homes through storms, hurricanes, and all these things that are plowed through their cities. Yet they are believers. You know, so, you know, these things happen. You say, well, it happens to everybody. And it may happen. Now, the Lord can give us, you know, the Lord may be so gracious to us. Of course, He knows you by name. And if you, you know, if it so pleased the Lord, you may escape some of those things. And then we've seen and know of situations when people actually did escape. But not everybody escaped. I mean, we saw that Daniel escaped the lion's den. We saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped the, you know, the fiery furnace. But did everybody escape? No, not everybody escaped. What about those that did not escape? You know, Christ himself did not escape. Of course, his own was planned. But did Stephen escape? No, he was stoned to death. I mean, have you read the stories of all that happened in the persecution of the early church? Some of them were thrown into the lion's den and, you know, sun and sundown and all many things. Did they escape? Of course not. You know, some people escaped. Others did not escape. Well, why did others not escape? Is it because they didn't have faith like the others? Well, let me read some things to you. You know, because these are things that we go through. Only God knows the why in all of these situations. You know, whether we are going to escape. This is what we believe, because Jesus said, pray that you may escape. And so, you know, we always pray that we may escape. And we believe that we are going to escape. You know, but sometimes stuff may happen. And when that stuff happens, well, you know, there are champions of faith that have escaped all kinds of things. And the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 33, what more shall I say? You know, time will fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, quenched the violence of fire. We know that. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong and so forth. You know, but did they all escape? Well, let's keep reading. Some women received their dead raised to life again. Well, did every woman receive their dead raised to life? Of course not. You know, but he said others, that's it right there. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment. I mean, Paul, he spent most of his time in prison. You know, I mean, one time the Holy Spirit sent the angel of the Lord and busted them out, but it wasn't every time. And at times he spent years, you know, in prison. You know, sometimes they were gracious unto him. They put him in house arrest, but he was still, you know, I mean, confined many times. I mean, in the story of in Acts chapter 12, Herod got a hold of James and killed him. I mean, why didn't James escape? Well, Peter escaped, but James did not escape. I mean, so these things are there, you know. You can't, look, it's just, that's just the way it is. The ones that did not escape, they did it because they did not have faith like the others. In fact, listen to this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, well, I mean, not story that he told, but something that happened. People came and told Jesus something. They said, they told him of all the Galileans whose, you know, Pilate had mingled their blood with sacrifice. So it's like, look, there are some people that Pilate killed and so on. And Jesus, so they came and told Jesus about it to hear what he would say. And, but what was his answer? Let's read Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at the season some that told Christ of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering to them and said, do you suppose that these Galileans who were killed were sinners above all the others because they suffered such things? You know, so Jesus bringing it out here. I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he said, look, there was a day when suddenly this tower collapsed and people that were in it died. And Jesus said, look, do you think that those people that died, were they sinners above others? I mean, we've heard of buildings that collapsed and people died. You know, it's happened in Nigeria, you know, in the last few years. It's happened here in the U.S. It's happened in other places. When 9/11 happened, you know, it was a tremendous strategy. Do you think that everyone that was in those twin towers that were killed, were they all sinners? Were there no believers there? Of course not. You know, so these things happen, you know, but how do we deal with them? First, you must recognize that these things happen and you need to develop the maturity. That's what this series is all about. Not only to give us encouragement, but also to help us, discover the inner strength that we need. There is a posture that we must develop. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Why? Why is it after I've suffered a while? Why can't he settle me before I suffer a while? You know, I mean, this is, you know, some serious stuff. Why in the world will he wait for me to suffer and then settle me? Settle me already before I suffer and prevent me from any kind of suffering. Well, that's not the scriptures. You know, blessed be the Lord God who is able to deliver, will deliver, delivering, and will continue to deliver you. You know, but sometimes, you know, that deliverance may not come right away and you may suffer some stuff. He will eventually deliver you. And if he allows something else, well, so be it. You know, but I'm not going through life thinking that, oh, evil is going to come upon me. No, that will be a dangerous, you know, place to be. You've got to go through life believing that you are going to escape. Believing that because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, there shall no evil before you. And the best of us who are claiming these things, I guarantee you, we still fall sick. Everybody, you know, that claim that, oh, you know, Son of Righteousness arise with healing. And I'm not saying this as with a tongue in the cheek. This is the truth. No matter what you believe, how strongly you believe, the Lord already made us recognize. Sometimes it's foolishness for us to not know that these things may happen. That's why the Lord says, look, Psalm 34 and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not few, many. But the Lord, the story though, is that the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Hallelujah. And I never said that you won't have any afflictions. In fact, Jesus said, look, in the world while you are here, you are going to experience all kinds of tribulations, hardships. Jesus said it himself. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can read that in John 16 and 33. He said, look, these things are spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You know, settle it in your heart already before these things happen to you. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm telling you in advance, you know, so that you won't think some strange things happening to you. As long as you are in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have these things. But be of good cheer. Hallelujah. That's always the end, you know. In the book of Job, chapter 42, I mean, all the evil that happened to Job, at the end, the Lord turned his captivity around. You know, and that's always the end of the story. And it's great if it ends like that. But sometimes it doesn't end like that. Some people actually lose their lives when they are going through stuff. Are you telling me that you don't know of any believer, any well-meaning families who have been struck with illness, maybe one member of the family, and they everybody's believing God, praying, believers, everybody praying, and they still lost that person? It happened all the time. Now, that's not our prayer, you know, that we should be in that situation. We believe God that we can escape those kind of situations. And I believe with all my heart that if, you know, the Lord said, you know, I'm the one that healed you from all your diseases. You know, we believe that. But the truth of the matter is we got to prepare, you know, hope for the best, as people say, but prepare for the worst. Some people naive, so naive, they don't prepare for these things. And then their faith will be shaking because they don't think that, oh, these things might happen. If you go through life thinking that, well, you'll never be sick because you believe that, you know, you should always have divine health. And that's a great thing. I believed it for years and I still believe it till today. But there have been times when I have been sick. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. Was it because I wasn't believing? I don't know what happened, but it happened. You know, but I still had to believe to get out of it. And the Lord eventually pulled me out of it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So we can't say, you can't just say that, oh, you're never going to have the valleys just because you experience, you know, the mountains. There's going to be mountains. There's going to be valleys. But like the song we played at the beginning said, God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Now, he's not God of the valley, but he's God in the valley. He doesn't want our lives to be a life of valleys, but our life will be a life of mountains for the most part. You know, but you know, think about this really. Why are there mountains and valleys? There would not be mountain. It would just be a plateau of flat ground if they were all at the same level. Think about it. You know, if there is more than one mountain in the landscape, then that means there's a valley somewhere. Otherwise, you're always on the top. You know, and I'm going to speak more about this, you know, tomorrow. But, you know, the thing is this. The life that we live now in Christ Jesus, though it is a life of victory, yet sometimes it's punctuated with all kinds of challenges along the way. And that's the beauty of the victory. Because, you know, this is the victory that overcometh. You know, you got, you know, there must of necessity be something for you to overcome in order for you to be an overcomer. And, you know, so we just can't, you know, not have these mountains and valleys. Now, it'll be a serious tragedy if somebody, all they experienced throughout their life was all valleys. They were always in the valley. They never experienced any good times. You know, they didn't experience that closeness with the Lord when they heard the voice of the Lord, and never, I mean, they were always in darkness, and that's a serious, dangerous place to be. And they need serious help. But the best of us, even when we experience all those good things, you know, there's such a thing called in season and out of season. Even, you know, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, look, preach the word in season and out of season. What does it mean? You know, it means, look, it means many things. In season means, for the most part, when it's convenient. Out of season means when it's not even convenient. But here's the way I actually see it. For me, because I'm a preacher, I've been for many years, in season preaching for me is when I hear from the Lord point blank. And he does that most of the time, you know. But out of season is when you don't hear from the Lord. You know, so what should I do then? Will I not encourage people just because I didn't hear a point blank word from the Lord? No. You know, it's in season and out of season. I still have to call upon the things that I heard already from the Lord. Because Jesus said, look, there'll be days when you don't have it with you, but the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. That's right. You wouldn't need the Holy Spirit to bring it to your remembrance if the Lord, if you are constantly hearing the Lord in the present all the time. You know, but there are times when you will not hear in the present, in the moment. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He will remind you of what you heard when you were in the light. Now that you think you sit in darkness and you think God's forsaking you, Holy Spirit will remind you of his goodness and of his kindness and the word of promise that he gave you. Hallelujah. You know, so this is how these up and down situations work. And this is how we must respond. We need to know that, look, we are going to always experience these ups and downs, you know, but hey, this is what we must do. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 that, look, you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As if that was not enough, he told him again in 2 Peter chapter 4, you know, verse 5. He said, but thou, watch in all things, endure afflictions. You know, so it means that Paul already knew that afflictions were going to come. You know, so that's why he was trying to prepare him for it. If we're not well prepared, you know, then people will be, when there are something slams against them, then they'll be devastated. Because they're not well prepared, because they think that, oh, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. You know, that's, you know, Jesus never said that. What he did say, though, is that, you know, you have the victory. The end of the result is, look, you will always have the victory, no matter what happens, you know. So, have you heard of the trials of Job? Have you heard? Well, did you also see the end of the Lord in the matter? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what the scripture says. It says, look, that we have heard of the trials of Job. You can read that in James chapter 5, verse 11. You know, we've heard of his trials. You know, James said, look, behold, we count them happy which endure. When you endure afflictions, you got to endure. Now, we've heard of the patience of Job. We've heard of all the things he went through, you know, and we have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is always pitiful. And, you know, in Job chapter 42, you can see how, you know, at the end of the day, he came back and got the victory. You know, but he had to endure. You know, and blessed are they that endure, we're told. So, the word of promise to you will be tried. That's right. The word of promise comes to you when you are on the mountaintop. You know, that's when you receive the word of promise on the mountain. But you are tried in the valley. That's right. So, that's a punchline for you to remember today, even if you don't remember anything else. The word of God comes to you in the mountain, on the mountain, while you're on the mountain, and so forth. Well, that word will be tried when you are in the valley. And you will be in the valley at some point in time. In order for that word that came to you while you are on the mountain to be tried. And so, let's read Psalm 18 and verse 30. And you know, in the life of Joseph and some of these incredible stories that we've read in the Bible, you know, these things are there for us to you know, for us to give, I mean, for, to give us encouragement. You know, we read through these things. He says, look, as for the Lord, in Psalm 18 and verse 30, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Why? Why should the word of the Lord be tried? It's the Lord that spoke it. The word of the Lord is a fire, is a hammer. It will break through everything. It will sustain itself. Once spoken, it can never come down void. Isaiah 55 says that it will not return void. It will accomplish the thing that it, you know, sent for. It will prosper in the purpose of God. But yet, we are told that the word of the Lord is tried. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to balance these things in our mind. Yes, that word will accomplish its purpose, but it will be tried. Let us go and pass over to the other side is the word of the Lord. But it will be tried. The tempests will come up against it. Storms will come against the boat, rock the boat. The water will rush into the boat and so forth and try to just dislodge you from your position of, you know, security. It will dislodge you. Try to dislodge you at least. But the word of the Lord is already spoken. We are going to the other side. But then all hell is going to break loose. To slam that word. That word must be tried. That's the way it is. So if we think that, oh, well, because the Lord said so, then it's all cool. No. Especially, in fact, just because the Lord says so, is why all hell is going to break loose. The Lord said to Elijah, you know, go and show yourself to Ahab today, for I'm going to send rain upon the earth today. And Ahab himself, you know, I mean, Elijah himself said, look, I'm already seeing and hearing the spirit, the sound of abundance of rain. The Lord said it. And he saw it in the spirit. He heard it even. But why did he have to pray? There's no need to pray. If the Lord already said it, you might think. No, you've got to earnestly contend for those promises because, you know, even though the Lord said it, the word of the Lord will be tried. The way the word of the Lord is tried is that there will be a delay in the thing that the Lord said. See whether you can actually believe and continue to believe. There might even be a process. You know, the Lord may tell you something. He may not give you the timing. He just tell you, show you something. And you, but you don't know the timing. And, you know, it may be years. The Lord told Joseph by dreams that he was going to be above his brethren. You know, but little did he know. The Lord didn't tell him that part. That you are going to go be carried away from your father who loves you so much. You're going to be separated from your brethren. You're going to be carried into a far country. You are going to be in problems most of the time. I mean, your life is going to be in danger. You're going to be in prison. I mean, Lord didn't tell him all those things. All he saw was he will be above his brethren. And so he's happy that I'm going to be above my brethren. Well, yeah, you will be. But before you get there, you're going to pass through all kinds of stuff, which the Lord didn't tell you, by the way. Minor details, you know, that the Lord just kept back. Well, they were not minor when he was going through it. You know, so this is just the way that life is. This is the reality of life, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reality. You know, tell me one person in this room that has not been afflicted with some kind of sickness or other. I don't care how great your faith is. You know, it happens to the best of us. You know, so, but we also know that we've got, you know, it's like we've got this quiver full of, you know, scripture nuggets and different things. You know where, which one to pull out. It's like arrows. You know, you got your quiver full of arrows. You know, when you're sick, you know how to pull out, you know, Exodus 15 and 26. You know how to pull out many things, you know, that, you know, the Lord, you know, I'm the one that healeth you. Malachi 4 and 2. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing over your own. I mean, you have these arrows in the quiver ready for the day of adversity to pull them out. But I guarantee you, that will be days that you'll be in the valley, you know. But what do these trials do for us? Well, the word of the Lord came and tried Joseph. And Joseph had plenty of opportunity to doubt that word, you know, that God gave him. The Lord showed him, Bible says, Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Lord showed him things to come, but he didn't know how far ahead that would be. In fact, he was naive enough to go and open his mouth and blab it to his brothers, which made him them to hate him even more. They already hated him because if their father preferred him above them, so they hated him for that. That's a lesson for parents. You never have preferential treatment, you know, among your children, because they will hate the one that is preferred, and you're just going to make their life more miserable. That's a side lesson. But, you know, God never told him all the hardship that he was going to face. And the devil, even his brethren, told him, we will see what will become of your dreams now. And the devil told him the same thing. When he was in the dungeon, I mean, even when they cast him in the pit, the devil said, well, you're going to die in this pit. Well, of course, the Lord sent a destiny helper among even the would-be destiny destroyers. I said, well, let's not, you know, let's not kill him, throw him in this pit, because he was hoping to come and pull him out later. But when he was not there, they sold him into slavery, you know, and they said, oh, but you see, even those, you know, a band of Ishmaelites that came along, even them, they were kind of destiny helpers. They carried him away into a far country, but God had a hand in it. And the whole time, devil will be telling him, you'll never see your dad again. Look at what your brothers did to you. I mean, when you were in your land, where you grew up and everything, your family did this to you. What in the world do you think is going to happen to you when you go to a place where you don't know anybody? Your life's going to be so miserable. And sure enough, his life, even though God's favor was upon him, was made miserable by various things. Ended up in prison. The devil will be telling him, you are going to rot in this prison. You think you're going to be above your brethren? Above your brethren indeed. You will die in this prison. And even when he interpreted the dream and the other one was restored, you think the guy is going to remember you? He's not going to remember you. 1 month passes, 2 months pass, 5 months, 11 months, 13, 15 months, two full years. The whole time the devil will be telling him, I tell you, you are going to rot in this prison. There's no help coming. Just give up already. That's the same thing that Job's wife was telling him. Just give up already. Curse the Lord already. And can you imagine? My goodness. You know, how can your wife tell you that? Well, you know, this tells you what Job went through. It was enough that the devil was fighting him. You know, his own wife. And it was his own friends. His own friends came against him and told him that, look, you must have done something wrong. Your hands are not clean. That's why all these things. I mean, he was like all kinds of things. Well, even he himself, at one point, he said, look, yeah, you know, why? Then he started to question God. And then God had to come to him. I'm going to deal with that series one day. You know, when God had to come to him. And then at the end, well, he repented. He said, look, I cover my mouth with my hands because, you know, I'm a fool, really, to even think anything. And the Lord accepted his repentance. And then the Lord turned against those his friends, you know, who had been saying all kinds of things against him. I said, look, you need to go to Job and ask him to pray for you because I have not accepted you. Because you have not, you know, your words concerning me have not been right. You know, because you thought evil concerning Job. And God was angry with them. Well, they went to Job, they prayed, and the Lord, you know, had mercy on them. And then, because Job himself prayed, then the Lord heard him and turned his own captivity around. But he went through all kinds of stuff, which I don't pray that anybody go through. It was just too much. I don't even know how anybody could go through the things he went through. But listen to how he puts it in Job chapter 23 and verse 10. This is how he put it. He said, the Lord knows the way that I take, right? When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold, as a refiner's fire. So that's how the children, the sons of the kingdom, are being purified. As gold is tried in the fire. So those mountains, they're great, but the valleys are there for their reasons as well. And you know, if there are mountains, if you are on top of the mountain all the time, then you'll never appreciate, you know, until you're down in the valley. And sometimes some people don't know what they have until they've lost it. It's a tragedy. It happens in families. It happens in business. I mean, we take a lot of things for granted. People don't know and appreciate the good health they have until they're sick. And then when they're sick, then they know, you know. Some people don't appreciate their job they have until they lose that job, you know. And I often tell people when they tell me, oh, stuff's just crazy, you know, I'm so busy. I say, busy is good. I say, look, busy is good. Think of the alternative. You may not have a job. Have a job now, you're complaining. You know, you're overwhelmed. Well, what if you don't have a job? You know, and that's the way it is. There'll be times when you have a job. There'll be times when you don't have a job. You know, and there are times when the very job that you were praying for, you know, at first maybe like a mountain, and then you experience valleys in that job. You know, the blessing that came, all kinds of problems may come on that job later on. You know, how are you going to deal with it? You must have this mindset that we are talking about today, to know that there's always going to be mountains and valleys. And the God of the mountain that spoke to you when you are in the light is the same God that's there with you in the valley when you sit in darkness. And the Holy Spirit of the Lord, the very Spirit of God, He will be with you to remind you of what God told you when you were in the light. Hallelujah. And let me also tell you this, that, you know, the grace and mercy of God that put you on the mountain will be there to keep you on the mountain until pride sets in sometimes. Pride may make people fall from that mountain. You know, as a lady was speaking to me years ago, and she was telling me how she was on the mountain. You know, in her own words, she said she was living in cloud nine. She was a millionaire, she said. And then she said pride entered into her heart. And one thing led to another. She lost everything. And at the time she was speaking to me, she was now in the valley. But I said, well, there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down. Hallelujah. There is always hope, you know, even though the tree was cut down. Even Nebuchadnezzar, when he was cut down, the Lord left for him a stump. He said, well, you know, the Holy Watcher said, well, cut him down. Let there be seven times, pass over him and so forth. By the decree of the Watcher, send him to the bush. Give him a heart of a monkey. Let whiskers grow out of his cheeks, and let his fingernails grow like, you know, like a claws of animals and so forth, and let it be like a monkey until he knows that I am the Lord God, ruling in the affairs of men. But leave him a stump. Hallelujah. He wasn't completely, you know, God had mercy there, you know. So, you know, I said to her, you know, there's hope of a tree, so it'd be cut down. Well, through the scent of water, it may bud again, and it will bud again. You know, so, but these things will happen and can happen and do happen to us. You know, but the Lord, He has the blessing for us, even in the rain. Blessing in the rain. He has, you know, comfort for us, even in the, during the storm. While you're in the valley, well, you can step back and look and see that, well, there is a God that's astride over the mountain. The Lord showed me this in the spirit one time. As you know, there was this giant mountain that I couldn't even see the top of it. I mean, you know, because of the gradient of vision, the line of vision and the line of sight, if you stand right beneath a high-rise building, you won't be able to see the top because, you know, you just can't. The gradient is too sharp. But if you move far away enough, the line of sight might allow you to see the top of that mountain. I hope you know what I'm talking about. When you're too close to the bottom, you're standing at the right at the door of a 100-story building, and you look up, you can't see the top of that building. You just can't see it. You probably see about 3 or 4 stories, and you won't see anything else. But when you move back about 100 feet or so, then you can see the top of that story building. And so when you're right beneath that huge mountain, I saw it. It was like a mountain that could not be, I mean, it was just overwhelming. And then when the Spirit of the Lord directed me to step back. And then when I stepped back, then I could see the top of the mountain. It was like the top of the mountains will be seen. And when I saw the top of the mountain, it was like, oh my goodness. What I thought was an incredible mountain that was so big that, you know, just overwhelming, crushed underneath it, actually. When you step back far enough, and then you can see the top of that mountain, and what do you see? There is this colossal figure. I mean, he's like, he's just incredible. He completely dwarfs the mountain that was so big to you. And he's standing astride that mountain, 1 foot over here, 1 foot over there. The mountain is in between his feet. And the mountain all of a sudden looks like nothing. Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's the Lord for you. But you got to stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you in due season and in due time. You know, but sometimes you may have to suffer a while. So the mountains and the valleys, these are part of life. Our prayer is that we'll experience more of the mountain. But I would be failing in my duty if we didn't equip you for the valleys. You know, that's just the way it is. You got to be equipped for the valleys. And it's not being negative to think that valleys are coming. They are coming. It's being naive for you to think that you will not have valleys, because you will. That's just the way it is. You know, but through it all, that's our lesson today. Through it all, through the mountains, through the valleys, God's the same. When you are on the mountain and you feel like, my goodness, you are lockstep with God, the Holy Spirit right there speaking to you, showing you, guiding you and everything. You are in the light and in giving you words, you will emerge. You will have quantum leap and on so on and so forth. That's great. And then all of a sudden, boom, you go into these doldrums and these valleys, and it seems like his voice is so far away and he's nowhere to be found. Well, remember what he told you when you were in the light. Hallelujah. Because that word is being tried. It's all it is. You know? And, you know, everything will be tried. One day Jesus said to Peter, go to the lake and catch a fish and pay taxes for us. When you open up his mouth, you find a con. That word of the Lord was tried. You may not have read it in that story, but it's there. Because, you know, there was a long time that passed between the time that Jesus said that and the thing happened. A long time passed. I've said it before. Peter wasn't carrying his fishing gear all along, everywhere he went. In fact, he already stashed it. But the Lord already told him, you know, forget all that. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So he dumped the thing. I don't know, even know where. Maybe he gave it away, sold it or whatever. Never had it anymore. So after the Lord said that, well, he had to think about it. And he had to go get his fishing gear. And the whole time that he's going, he's thinking about it, the devil had plenty of opportunity, you know, to make him doubt. Come on now, Peter. Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, that there will be a coin in the mouth of a fish? No. Of course, surely you can't believe that. And even, how do you know, even if that's the case? How do you know that the first fish that you catch will actually have the coin in its mouth? How do you know that? Or maybe you won't catch anything. I mean, there's all kinds of things the devil could tell you on the way. So, plenty of opportunity for the word of God to be tried. And so he had to go get the fishing gear. Maybe he had to go buy, go borrow, go somewhere. You know, it's going to take him time to do all of that. It's going to take him time to get there. And during that whole time, the word of the Lord will be tried. What am I saying? Every word of God is pure, but is also tried. The word of promise that said to you, you will emerge. That word will be tried. You'll be emerging sometimes, and then all of a sudden you're back in the valleys. The word of the Lord that said to you that you will experience a quantum leap. That word will be tried. That's right. It's got to be tried. You know, and so prepare your heart, you know, that look, whether I'm on the mountain, I'm good. Whether I'm in the valley, I'm good. That's what Paul said. He said, look, I have learned, you know, both to be abound, you know, when I'm on top, I'm good. When I'm on the bottom, I'm good. I've learned in every situation, whether I'm on the valley, I mean, on the mountain or in the valley, where I'm, you know, whatever, you know, I've learned and I'm good. You know, look, let's read it. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through about 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that's how to be in the valley. And I know how to abound, that's how to be on top of the mountain. You know, and he said, look, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full on the mountain, and to be hungry in the valley, both to abound on the mountain and both to suffer need in the valley. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Yeah. My goodness. This man, up or down, made him no difference. You know, I mean, he's going to, and he experienced a lot of downs. Trust me. One time he said, look, we are like the filth of the earth, you know, buffeted on every side. All kinds of things happen. You know, it's like slammed every day. Yeah, but my goodness, he was determined in his heart. I don't care. In fact, one prophet named Agabus one time came and told him, he said, look, he picked up his girdle, which he put on the ground somewhere, and he tied himself around it and said, look, thus saith the Holy Ghost, the man that owns this girdle, when he gets to Jerusalem, this is how they will be bound. And they're going to do this and this and this and this to him. And Paul said, I know it. But none of these things bother me. I may be bound, or I may be heading into being bound. I may be even heading into being killed. It makes me no difference. I'm going forward. Now, that man was sold out. Paul was someone that was always sold out. When he was sold out on the other side of the fence, I mean, he did havoc to the church and wasted it. You know, and when the Lord converted him, he was sold out again. You know, God used the same passion that was in him, although wrongly placed at the time, turned it around, and he became a champion of the faith that once he destroyed. You know, so, and finally he said this in Romans chapter 8. Beautiful, beautiful testimony. He said, look, I am persuaded that none of these things, mountains or valleys, ups and downs, none of these things move me. I will not be moved. You know, whether, you know, I'm in life or even death, angels or even principalities, powers or things present or things to come, height or depth, that's mountain or valleys, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we could read verses 37 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. That was finally how he put it. Now, how are you going to put it? The Lord said in Jeremiah 29 and 11, my thoughts towards you are always of peace and for good and not to evil. And I will do you good and not evil all your days. Well, what are your thoughts of the Lord? How do you see the Lord when you are in the valley? There's a song that says, I see the Lord. Well, how do you see the Lord when you are in the valley. Well, all of us see him as that good God of grace that knows your name and is bent on doing you good when you are on the mountain, and that's great. But how do you see him when you are in the valley? Do you still see him as the God of all grace when you are in the valley? Do you still see him as the God that answered prayer when he's not answering your prayer? And it seems that he's not answering. Jesus addressed that. He said, look, he will answer you speedily, but what if it's not speedily? You know, what do you do? Well, Jesus told you what to do. He said, keep on knocking. Jesus had an answer for all these situations. You know, first of all, he said, look, the Lord will answer you speedily in Luke chapter 18. But just in case he doesn't answer you speedily, then he told them what you need to be doing. What you need to be doing is like the woman who came to the judge. Avenge me of our adversary. And the man wouldn't do anything. But, you know, send her away. And she came back again. Sent her away. And she came back again. Send her away. So finally the man said, look, I don't really care about this woman. You know, I don't need to do right by her or right by anybody. I don't even care about God. You know, but there's only one way for me to get rid of this woman right now. You know, is to do what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to drive me crazy, weeding me out with all, you know, her importunity and constant coming to me. And Jesus told that story. And what that means is, look, you pray today, there's no answer. Pray again tomorrow. You know, don't say, well, I already prayed and there's no answer and then you just give up. Pray again next year. Well, however long it takes, stay right there with it. Jesus said it will not tarry, but sometimes it tarries. You know, so, but in his mind, it will not tarry long. You know, just stay right there with it. You know, wait for it. The vision, you know, the vision will not tarry long. But even though it tarry, you know, he said, look, wait for it because it will not tarry long. Let's read Habakkuk, you know, chapter 2. You know, he said, the Lord's answered me in verse 2. And he said, write the vision. In fact, let me read it from verse 1. It's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I'm reproved. Now, God will say to you, what will you answer? You say to God sometimes and God answers, well, what about when he says to you, what will you answer? What about when he says to you, but the thing doesn't appear that it's coming to pass? This is the big challenge for us many times, you know, because we don't understand the seasons that God understands. And so he said, well, this is what you need to do. Write a vision, make it plain upon the tables of your heart so that you can run with it. The same thing when you're speaking to others, you speak it to yourself the same way. You know, it's not only for you to tell somebody, it's for you to tell yourself too. David knew how to tell himself, my soul, why thou disquieted with him. He'll tell his soul. So you need to tell yourself. He said, look, the promise, he says he had the vision, but I'm telling you this, the promise is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. You know, at the end of the day, the word will be fulfilled. You know, the words of God shall be done in their season. You know, that's what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah. Say, my word shall be fulfilled in their season. And because you have not believed me, you're going to be dumb until they are fulfilled. But they will be fulfilled. So the word of God will be fulfilled in the season. But what is the season? I may not know what it is. And the Lord said, look, he says here, at the end he shall speak and not lie. It's always the truth. The word of God will come to pass. And he said, though it tarries, wait for it. Because sometimes it will tarry. He said, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, basically, it will not tarry too long. We already told it will tarry. So, I mean, this seems like a contradiction. He said, though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Well, what he's saying is that this. It will come to pass. And it won't be long. It may seem long, but hang in there. It will come to pass. It will not be frustrated. The word of God cannot be frustrated. The only thing that can cause a breach is if we don't believe and sanctify that word in our hearts. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's day three of our lesson in the series of Overcome. The overcoming, you know, overcoming obstacles, overcoming adversity, and, you know, overcoming distress and depression when we are in the valley, looking up to the mountains. And so we're going to experience these mountains and these valleys, and they will occur at different times. You know, but if you faint in the day while you are in the valley, the Bible says in Proverbs 24 and 10, then your strength is little. But God doesn't want our strength to be little. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, so don't faint in the day of valley. Remember, God will never let your, you know, things happen to you that's beyond your strength. He won't do it. You know, he said, look, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 13 says, God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. You know, but with every trial or every temptation, he will make a way of escape. If you're in the valley, he'll make a way of escape for you to get out of the valley, get out of the doldrums and come back on top. The Holy Spirit will be there. You know, and he's always there with you. You know, things that you are going through, Holy Spirit is there with you. But you must go through. And don't give up. Don't give in. Stay right there and stay the course. And at the end of his days, Paul was able to say, look, I've kept the faith. I've stayed on track. I fought a good fight. And so forth. Well, we are not at the end of our journey yet, but are you staying on track? Are you on course? Are you keeping the faith? Are you fighting a good fight? A good fight means, you know, you're not beating the air. You're not shadow boxing. You know, you're landing your punches strategically, and you're not wasting your spiritual capital on things that, you know, you don't need to. You know, let the storm do its thing. It's going to pass. Don't worry about it. But in order for you to not worry about it, you got to be all prayed up already. So that's our lesson today for mountains and valleys. And I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to understand that the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Father, I pray over the room today that your children be encouraged with this word. Hallelujah. And that we will know that the Lord is with us to do us good. And the valley's experience is to strengthen us. Now, pride can make people fall from the mountain. Unbelief can keep you in the valley. So, we got to balance things out. And lo and behold, this lesson is today to balance those out. You may be on the mountain today, but remember, in order to climb the next mountain, you got to come down to the valley. So there's always going to be valleys. And now today you may be in the valley. Now you may stay in that valley longer than necessary because of unbelief, and fear will keep you in that valley, and unbelief will keep you there as well. So let's believe God. And while you're on the mountain, remember, it is the Lord thy God that's working in you both to will and to perform. It's the Lord thy God that giving you power to get where. It's the Lord thy God giving you wisdom. It's the one that gives you strength. It's the one that gives you understanding. Never forget it. Otherwise, pride will fall you down quickly from that mountain. I see Lucifer fall like lightning from heaven, Jesus said, because of pride. So let's not entertain pride in our hearts. But let's walk softly before the Lord, even when we are on the mountain. walk softly before the Lord and give him the glory that he deserves. Nebuchadnezzar didn't do that. He said, well, I'm on top of the world. he said, well, I rule the world. I shook up the world. I got these things, these gardens, these hanging gardens, I built it. Is this not the glory of excellency that I have built by the power of my majesty, these kingdoms of Babylon and the rest of the world? Did I not do it by the strength of my power? The Lord said, really? I'm going to show you. And the Lord showed him. So let's give the Lord the glory even when we are on the mountain. And when you are in the valley, gather hope as well. For there is hope of a tree. And when it be cut down, according to Job 14 and 7, that it can still bud again and sprout forth again through the scent of water. May this message be a scent of water to those who might be in the valleys today, to know that you will not be in the valley forever. Sorrow may endure for a night, according to Psalm 30 and 5. You may be in the valley right now, but you can't be in that valley forever. You're coming out of there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement to all your people. Now, I pray against the attacks of the enemy. We know stuff happens, life happens, but sometimes the devil takes advantage. Now, we must not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. So I come against the tactics of the devil in the name of Jesus. Sometimes the enemy is trying to cheap shot you. Now, let the devices of the enemy be disabled. Let them be disappointed, so that his hands cannot perform any of his enterprise against you, according to Job 12 and 5, of Job 5 and 12. So I pray that the Lord will give you grace everywhere you go in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord disappointed the devices of the crafty, Job chapter 5 and verse 12. So their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Well, the crafty, the devil is crafty, and every device that he has against you, the Lord will disappoint it in Jesus' name. And he will not be able to exact upon you. The enemy shall not exact upon you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.